You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, now, this is a bit unusual because we're going to put a call into the doc, but Don's not here because I've got a feeling, just a minute, I'll just see if we can get the doc to ring in. And if he does, Don's not here at the minute because he's been over at Hawthorne, and I got a feeling, I'm not sure what he's doing at Hawthorne, but we're going to try and get the doc to ring in because we like to have the doc ring in when Don's here, but Don will arrive shortly, I presume. So I think he's been over at Hawthorne. I have a feeling they're trying to woo him or massage him or groom him to be the president. Wait till we have a discussion, which we've probably already had by the time this goes to air, because the doc we usually speak to after we've done one or two episodes, but this is all a bit hamstrung today because Don's not here, and I'd hate to start this off without Don being here. Anyhow, wait till we get on to Jeff Kennett and how he's been rounded up by the most ridiculous, honestly, the most ridiculous article I've ever read. You've got to see what's going on the planet to understand where we're headed. Here he is. I can see him pulling his truck in. I'm trying to get the doc to ring as we speak. Here he is. Here he is. Here he is, the doc, roadcaster, Doc?
Hello.
Believe it or not, Don has just pulled his truck up. I've just started speaking and saying Don's not here, and we're going to speak to the doc now because we can't hold the doctor any longer because he's extremely...
No, I'm all good. Have we addressed the rumours around Don?
Well, we're doing the podcast as we speak, Doc, in case you don't think we're recording this. So
No, I understand you have, but have we addressed the rumours about the big job that may be offered to Don?
No, I've just mentioned that I've got a feeling he's at Hawthorne being groomed to be the president, but here he comes now. Now, Don...
let me introduce him.
He's just come in. Don, I'm putting your microphone up. We've got the doctor on the line, and here he is. Say hello to the doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen. Hang
on, which one is it?
Get into the microphone.
Well, which doctor is it?
It's the doctor from Sydney, the all-encompassing, all-engaging, all-powerful Dr. Ben Fordham.
How are you, Doc?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the microphone the future president of the Hawthorne Football Club, Don Scott.
Now, Don,
Don't tell me it's making news in Sydney.
Don,
it's bouncing around at the moment. Ooh. And look, I just want to say congratulations, mate. I think it's a great step forward for Hawthorne. I think that they have been a little bit bland for a while. And I think that you will bring a level of flair and excitement to the club that they haven't seen in a long, long time.
So the previous president was lacking in these areas, Doctor?
No, he wasn't at all. But
flair am I going to bring if...
Well, Doc, could I just describe the flair that he went to the interview in? He's got a striped shirt on, a blue striped shirt. He's got seven bangles on his left wrist. He's got a ring. He's got a neckerchief, a chain, a fob watch. He's got several waistcoat. They would have been gobsmacked when he walked into the room, this conservative club.
The only thing that's missing is the beret. Why didn't you wear the beret today?
I wore my Peaky Blinders cap, Doctor.
He's taken it off to put the headphones on, Doc. Honestly, have a look at him. He looks like...
I look like the pop Dr. Clark, Doctor.
Seriously. So Doc, this could be breaking news. I've not canvassed this with Don, but Don's obviously over being interviewed for the job of president. Wait till we get on to the president. Have you caught up with what the president was accused of? Have you? Kennett? Jeff Kennett was accused of the most greatest non-story I've ever read in The Age, written by...
Oh, no, please.
Seriously. he said to the wife of a Cyril Rioli, or the girlfriend of Cyril Rioli, I think it's his wife, who's Indigenous, said she had these designer jeans on, ripped jeans. You know how you buy them with...
He
said, just as a note of informality and trying to just be jovial, he said, would you like some loose change to sew up the threads on the jeans?
I mean, that's a standard dad joke, and those dad jokes have been told since the beginning of time.
So that's
and this is a man, Jeff Kennett, who was famous for throwing sand all over the TV cameras and the journalists when he was the Premier of Victoria, because he was a bloke who was out of the box and didn't mind having a bit of fun and mucking around with people. So I'm not at all surprised that he'd crack a joke. That's a standard joke. It's a bit like saying to someone, look, you've won the bet now, you can take the hat off. I mean, what's wrong with that?
So he has been accused.
Gentlemen, it depends on your sense of humour. I certainly wouldn't say that to somebody wearing those jeans.
Oh, but hang on a moment. You've got a conflict of interest as the incoming president.
Oh, jeez.
That is absolutely nonsense, Don.
Of course you're going to throw the outgoing president under the bus.
He was trying to, Kennett was in trying to engage in some lighthearted banter with someone, doesn't matter who it was. And for you to say, Don, that you wouldn't say that, you say that to me every other week in here about what
I wear.
Yeah,
but I know you. Well, I've known you. I've worked with you for 3 years.
So Kennett knows these people.
I wouldn't say I know you intimately, but I know you.
It's his Hawthorn flock, and he was trying to engage in some banter with anyone. It doesn't matter what their race is, and to say that, the woman takes offence at it, that's one thing. But if honestly, to write a 3-page article in the paper by Caroline Wilson, it is the most cringeworthy nonsense you've ever heard. And
but there's another agenda. There is another agenda here, gentlemen, too. And
what's
this
that?
Is the minority, this vocal minority, and she's being fed the story by a minority, a vocal minority. And unfortunately, in today's age, when you've got social media and whatever else going on, they become very, very vicious. In past times before social media happened, none of this happened. You had a meeting, you either wrote a petition, signed a petition, or you had a public meeting. And none of this thing that's going out now or gives them credence. Eddie Maguire said it at the time when he finished at Collingwood. I didn't understand what he was talking about, but now I've watched and not experienced.
All right,
well, I am experiencing it to a certain degree.
Can I just ask you a few questions, Don, so I can get to the bottom of your presidency?
Well done, Doc.
Do you support Jeff Kennett?
No, I've been vocal in this. Shut up, Doctor.
Okay. I'm just taking notes here. I'm just taking notes here. The answer, he said no, when I said, do you support Jeff Kennett?
No.
Next question.
Okay,
question.
Are you
launching a coup against Mr. Kennett?
No.
Oh.
Now I know the way you're operating, Doctor. Now, Doctor, I was vocal in my criticism of Jeff
Kennett.
Of Jeff Kennett, and we had a conversation about it, and he is conflicted in his position as president of Hawthorn, but because he is commentating politically on the state of Victoria. Now, Jeff and Peter Credlin are the only two from the opposition that took Daniel Andrews to task last year. Not even the state opposition got the airplay. That's the state opposition got the airplay that Kennett and Peter Credlin did in the media, highlighting the performance of the Andrews government. I believe that he is conflicted. He shouldn't be president of Hawthorn, and he can be president, but don't comment politically. Because in Melbourne...
Hang on a moment. Why shouldn't he be president of Hawthorn? What's he done
because
wrong?
Because he's a conflict of interest. Will you shut up, John, and don't be so rude. He is conflicted because in Melbourne, it's different to any other place in the world, this fascination they've got with their football teams, and it covers all areas. Once you're a supporter of a team, it doesn't matter your colour, your creed, where you come from, whatever else, you are a Geelong supporter, Melbourne supporter, yeah, Hawthorn supporter, but he is alienating politically people that are Hawthorn.
What arrant nonsense.
Hey,
are
well, you saying, this Hawks for change mob, I have
I
seen.
I let you speak. Are you saying that no other president in the competition has another vocation besides being the president of their football club?
No, they have another vocation job, but not a vocation such as this.
Oh, that happens to be his vocation. You are
sorry, you shouldn't be involved.
Well, if you're going to be the president, you're the head of a maintenance organisation, a gardening company which you employ people. What happens if what are you talking about? Talking about, he can speak
sounds
about
like
whatever
a conflict.
He likes. Yeah, it sounds like a conflict.
I will say this though, and regular listeners to this award-winning podcast will detect as well. There is a distinct presidential sound about Don Scott today.
You can hear
how direct he is. He's very forthright. He's not mincing his words. I don't think he's provided any evidence as to why the current president no longer deserves that title, and it sounds to me like someone's tapped him on the shoulder and said, you could be the plan B. So if that's the case, Don, I wish you the best of luck. I'm not going to make life difficult for you because you've got a big job on your hands, but I don't think enough evidence has been provided as to why Jeff Kennett shouldn't continue, in my humble opinion.
It's a very good opinion, Doctor, and this is why you've got all those notices
now,
and
qualifications
up on your wall.
Can you guys tell me something about some other AFL names? Because I don't know whether you've seen this CCTV footage showing an AFL player and his mate allegedly punching, kicking and stomping on two women.
Brennan Stack.
Brennan Stack.
Ex-Western Bulldogs player. It's an absolutely shocking video.
And in fact,
you're warned, before it's played, you're warned that this may distress people. So,
Brendan Stack, is he Footscray or Richmond?
Well, it says he was a Western Bulldogs player.
Okay.
Yeah, so let me just explain to people. So the former Western Bulldogs player, Brennan Stack, and his mate, Shy Anthony Martin, have attacked two women, both aged 24, Tiara and Kia, the two girls. They were left with serious injuries following the incident on the 20th of March. This has been reported by the West Australian newspaper. And I'm watching the video right now. It is disgusting and disgraceful. One of the women is dragged by her hair across the car park. There is then a kick that's laid into one of them. Another one is punched while she's on the ground. Now, this will obviously be dealt with in the appropriate manner, but these two blokes are absolute scumbags. There's never any excuse for this kind of behaviour. And it's one of the worst attacks I think I've seen. Disgraceful.
Yes. Yeah, so this is like every single thing that's involved in these sort of things. This is going to be turned into a race thing. It's going to be.
Why is it going to be turned into a race thing?
Because it is.
No. Tell me why.
Because there will be that every single thing is turned into the most nebulous and ridiculous cliched things about race, and this will be another one. And
well, who's the racial info? Well, who are these two?
Brendan Stack is a ex-Western Bulldogs player, and I believe he's Indigenous.
Okay, and is his mate Indigenous?
Yeah, but this had nothing to do with race. This was an incident at a car park.
Of course,
Car doors clashed. So two car doors clashed, and then all of a sudden it turned into a verbal argument, which then turned into a physical attack. And there's serious injuries that have been caused to these two young ladies. So, I don't know what started the whole thing, apart from what is alleged to have happened in the car park with the car doors bumping each other. But I'll tell you what.
No, Doc,
two blokes should be locked up.
I couldn't agree with you more about it. That doesn't matter who they are, but I'm just saying you wait until the activists get hold of this and they'll aim it at some part of racism. And this is what's happening. We are being played on a whole lot of different fronts. Kennett's being played to say that would cause that would result in a 3-page article in a paper about Kennett saying that is honestly it's cringeworthy nonsense. And it's cringeworthy.
Listen, is this a recent event? I haven't heard of it until now.
Yeah, no,
is
this recent? It's just landed this morning, as in it's come to light this morning.
Right.
But it's something that happened recently, and yeah, it's just come to light this morning. So look, I'm sure people will go and have a look at the footage online.
So,
yeah.
Doc, I was at a elegant de concourse car show down at Point Leo Estate, a very prestigious. And Alan Jones was the ex-Formula One champion in 1980. He won the F1. He was the guest speaker, and he was asked what he thought of Lewis Hamilton. And he said, and then see, this is where this is headed. He said that Lewis Hamilton was a great driver. He had his absolute respect and admiration as a driver, but as a person, he thought he was a dickhead. And so someone bounced up out of the crowd and said that was racist. How you could say that? So Alan Jones said, no, that's not racist at all. That has nothing to do with his race at all. I've said that, and would it, if we go without saying that he said that about plenty of people, I've had that said about me. So this then erupted into a, they took the microphone off the person who said it was racist. They asked them to leave the function. Either they asked them to leave or they left because they were embarrassed. Every single thing that is to do with creed, colour, religion, sexual proclivity, gender, it is always sheeted home to the fact that it's that you are speaking ill of the person or the race, it is just used as a tool. It's a meaningless tool that if you're called a racist, you think, oh, that's the most egregious thing you can be called. On the contrary, it's just nonsense.
You can have a view on people, and it doesn't always relate to, you know, who they sleep with or the colour of their skin. But just on Lewis Hamilton, Lewis Hamilton was the Formula One driver who really drove the support of Black Lives Matter. So he was the one who said, righto, we need to support BLM. Can I just tell you something about BLM?
Yes, please.
Because we know already that this mob was responsible for encouraging violence and burning down buildings, including those owned by African Americans, and belting people up and setting fires and everything else. But what about this? It's just been revealed that the leaders of the Black Lives Matters organization laid out $6 million that came in through donations to buy a 6,500 square foot mansion in Southern California. It was purchased in 2020. It's been uncovered by the New York magazine. So this is the same organization that said, oh no, we're raising money to help people out who are disadvantaged. In fact, they purchased a $6 million mansion that's got 20 car spaces, a sound stage, multiple fireplaces, more than half a dozen bedrooms and bathrooms, a pool with a bungalow, and they've been using this as a bit of a base for their top brass at BLM. So if you need any more evidence that these people have their heads up their backsides and they're only interested in spreading fear, promoting violence and also creating a bit of a nest egg for themselves. Well, there you have. You've got these founders.
Are there any names connected to BLM as far as leadership goes?
Yeah. There's some of their founders. There's a Patrice Cullors and a Alicia Garza. They laid out the $6 million. Another Melina Abdullah. They're the ones who were responsible for purchasing it. And they've done their best to keep this quiet because it was purchased in 2020, but the New York organization, the New York magazine, has come across the whole thing and posted the photos up online to show the whole thing. And what about this? Within a week of the purchase, ownership was transferred to another company so that it wouldn't be discovered or disclosed by others. But this is now their campus. Do you reckon they let all the people whose buildings were burnt down in the BLM protests, including those owned by African Americans, do they let them come and stay in the $6 million mansion? I don't think so.
So, Doc, on this very podcast, we said here about 6 months ago, or maybe even longer, that BLM was a domestic terror organisation and the AFL players got down on their knee to pay homage to BLM. And I said on this very podcast, I said, honestly, they have no idea who they're paying homage to. This is a disgraceful organisation. And we had during the height of the COVID epidemic, when the whole of the state was locked down, BLM activists marched up our main street here, and we've just had the Assistant Commissioner of Police, a bloke called Luke Cornelius, come out and say that the Black Lives Matter had a very good cause, and that's why we let them march while we closed the whole of the state down. BLM were allowed to march.
That was in the middle of COVID.
In the middle of COVID, they said, but it's an exception because they're a very good organisation and they have their heart in the right place. They have not won. They are so, and this is reverse racism, Doc. This is why people have got to push back on this nonsense. He would be shit scared. Luke Cornelius, a man of a low IQ, to say that Luke Cornelius, if he said BLM had every right to march up there during the COVID lockdown because they have a very good reason to do it. They have no good reason to do it. They are a domestic terror organisation and they are corrupt and they're a disgrace. And why our footballers bow down and get on their knees, and I said it at the time, they have no idea why they're doing that. They're just like sheep.
Well, they're also bullied into doing it because we saw that with some of the South African cricketers when some of them said, we don't want to take the knee. They were told, if you don't take the knee, you don't play. And I think, Don, I'm just getting an update now from the Hawthorn Football Club because I put in a question to say, can you confirm you're in discussions with Don Scott? We've just got a statement back from them saying, no comment. So that's a little development from Hawthorn. So no comment coming from Hawthorn at this stage.
Working
obviously, we'll stay across this breaking story. And listen, Don.
Do they still operate that ticker tech machine? Is it straight off the ticker tech machine?
Yeah, but is there a little bit of a frog in your throat? Because I think last time we spoke.
There is.
Are you okay? What's going on there?
I think I've got corona.
Yeah, but you've isolated yourself from the rest of. You've isolated yourself from the rest of humanity for 2 years straight, possibly even longer. It might be 10 years that you've been behaving like a hermit.
Try 40 years.
You got corona.
Yes.
What's that? COVID.
COVID or whatever it's called.
Corona.
Yeah, coronavirus. That's what it was called to begin with. Remember
the Chinese coronavirus.
It finally caught me. But not Delta.
But hang on
corona.
A moment. Have you been playing tonsil hockey with someone? How would you have got it?
Don's a recluse. He is a hermit. He never goes out. How have you got? I tell you, you might have a croak in your throat, but you've got a firmness in your jodhpurs, Don. This thing about Hawthorn president has got you up and about. Mm. I can tell by looking at you.
You think it's turned me on, do you,
your
Johnny?
Your face has gone puce.
Don, we also know that whenever there's an attractive guest who appears on this podcast, you do find a way of getting their phone number and then following up personally later on. So has one of those inquiries led to something a little bit more substantial?
Cards are very close to the chest, Doctor.
No, Don, Doc, you've broken a story here today and beautifully
he's
done.
He's broken a few. He's on the ball, this man.
Course,
no wonder he's number one.
That's why he joins us. That's why he joins
Tell
us.
Tell me, can I ask you a couple of questions?
Sure. And then I want to say something to Sam Newman.
Okay. Now, I tuned into your former breakfast show on Channel 9. What is it called?
Here we go. Today's Show.
Richard Wilkins, has he been replaced as the entertainment reporter by Brooke Boney?
No. Dickie is still the entertainment editor at Channel 9 and he works across the Today Show. He also is one of the hosts of the Weekend Today Show and he also files for the Today Extra program. He'll do stuff for news. He's very, very well regarded at the Nine Network.
Okay, good. And I haven't seen him for a few years. Is he all right health-wise?
Yeah, well, do you know what? We went along, and he's just such a great bloke, Dickie, and I think you guys should get him on as a guest one day on the podcast because he's so fascinating. He said to me when it was announced that the SCG would also have a live event for the Shane Warne Memorial Service, he said, look, I want to go along. And I said, I'm going to be going. Let's go together. So we went together last Wednesday, and we sat there. And when Warnie's children, Brooke and Jackson and Summer, got up and spoke about their dad, we were both just sitting there in tears. I just thought it was such a wonderful event. And Eddie McGuire, deserve some thanks and some credit for pulling all of that together. But Sam, can I just say to you, and I know that I called you off air and said this to you directly, you had people in stitches when you were talking about Shane Warne. There were so many great lines, the story about playing golf with him, about the bets on the golf course, but also, you know, the quick wit when someone mentioned about Warney being honoured by the United Nations, and you then came back and said, can you believe that Warney somehow landed himself on the UN? I just thought the way you handled that whole thing with Andy Lee was first class and funny and generous and glorious. And I was so proud to be sitting there and watching you speak at that Shane Warne memorial service. I'm proud to call you a mate. And oh, I reckon a lot of people listening to this podcast would have felt the same way when they were watching on last Wednesday night. We were proud of you.
Well, Doc, that's mighty neighbourly. I really appreciate that. But you'd be probably out on your own, because I went on the Channel 7 Sunrise the day after and spoke to Koshy and another lady. I don't know her name. I'm sorry.
Natalie Barr.
Yeah, Natalie Barr is who it was. And so as a result of that appearance, I was the subject. I don't want to make this about me, but I was the subject in the Daily Mail or the Daily Mirror, one of them, that I'd had tinted my hair, I'd had Botox, I'd had been into a tanning salon. They tore me a new one. Not that I...
weren't critical of you as a person, but maybe your appearance.
They were. I mean, they need to get their facts straight, because they're right about all those things apart from the tanning salon. The tanning salon isn't true.
I haven't had my hair tinted.
Oh, you have. I'm Don, sitting opposite you.
Don, I haven't had my hair tinted. If I tell you I have, I'll tell you what I've had done to myself, but I haven't had my hair tinted.
You need some Botox.
What have you had done?
You need some Botox too, doctor.
What have you had done?
Recently.
No, what have you had done?
Well, I've had a surgery on my face.
Fair enough.
Well, that's common knowledge. When I got punched at my doorstep and my nose was removed from in between my eyes to under one of my ears, when I went and had it replaced in the middle of my face, the doctor said, would you like anything else done? This is 20 years ago. I said, yeah, what? Like what? He said, we can lift, tuck, pull, tighten.
Well, what did he do?
I said, we'll do it. That's common knowledge.
So what did you have done?
I just told you.
You know what he said?
What?
He said, I'll have all of the above, and I'll also have a penis reduction.
Doc, you're working absolutely magnificently, Doc. Someone told me that when you were circumcised, they made 3 Gladstone bags out of the offcuts.
Now, listen, can I just share one last one with you?
Thank you, Doc.
Because I know that you care about the big issues. Are you okay there, Don? You're okay, future president?
Don's found that's humorous.
Now, listen, we know...
Because he has a Gladstone bag, that's why.
I've got a Gladstone bag and I'm thinking, shit, that's a lot of foreskins.
Yeah, we know Walt Disney, right? Disney's been around forever, please. You know, where you go off to Disneyland and there's Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and Donald Duck and all that. Well, you'll be pleased to know that Disney has decided that by the end of the year, they want half of their characters to identify as LGBTI. They also don't want any of the people going around Disneyland or Disney World referring to boys or girls.
This is true.
Is fair dinkum, mate.
I watched it myself, that they want LGBTQ and any other alphabet, pardon, gender you can, and they just don't want to identify anyone that goes to Disney World as either a non-binary it is extraordinary, mate. And this is, the world, the Western world has to push back on this shit. The fact that you can't say, for someone who transgendered from being a man into a woman, you can't say now, or against the law, what that person used to be called. He used to be called Brian, but now he's called Beryl. That's against the law to say that. Yeah, it's extraordinary that we put up with it. I believe people aren't putting up with it anymore, to be honest.
I'd just like to say one thing in closing.
No, hang on. I've got something to...
It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. It's a strange, strange world.
Jesus H. Christ, Doc. Thank you so much. Is there any other announcements you'd like to make? I see the Opera House, just quickly, has been awarded by the American, what do you call them, architectural, they have been, did you know that? They've just been awarded, along with the Golden Gate Bridge and the Eiffel Tower, some prestigious award that has never been conferred on anyone, and the Opera House has suddenly received it. Did you know that?
No, well, you've given me some news that not only did I not know about, I don't care about, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go and visit the Opera House right now. I'll work on my singing, and by the time I join you next, I'm looking forward to officially speak to the president of the Hawthorn Football Club, Don Scott. You...
Hello? Did you cut him off? What happened? Did you cut him off then? We on? Stop. I know you're probably listening to this. I'm very sorry. I'm not sure what happened then. I was...
Well, what he's done, Johnny, is hung
here
up
he
in
is,
your
here
ear.
Here he is.
He's not...
Doc, hang on. No, just a minute, Doc, please. Doc, just, you there? Doc?
Yes, mate.
I'm sorry, what happened then? I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just apologising for the fact that you just disappeared, but you're back on.
You know what? You got the best out of me anyway. I love you, boys, and I can't wait to get official confirmation about the future president of Hawthorn. I'll have that news exclusively on this podcast 2 weeks from today.
Could you give us one quick prediction? Would it be ScoMo or anal?
I would say at this stage, you'd say Albo is going to win the election, but I'd never bet against ScoMo in the middle of a campaign.
What a star you are, Doc. Now we're ringing off. I don't know whose phone's ringing, but someone's phone's ringing, so we're ringing off as we speak.
Love your work,
good boy.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Doc.
See ya.
Now, Don. I think we're still on. So because
I just wanted to bring in about, but I didn't get the opportunity.
What do you mean? You've got a voice. You're sitting.
Well,
there,
it's very hard to cut in when you and the doc are going full bore,
bullshit,
and he was going full bore at the end. But
you dominated all that conversation with the doc. I just chipped in occasionally. What's wrong? You didn't. What were you going to ask him?
Well, I want to know about... No, I might bring it under general.
Well, so because you were late, because you were in a meeting at the Hawthorn Football Club to do with the presidency, I know that. You haven't told me that, but I know that's the case. I can tell by that stupid smirk on your face.
There's no smirk.
The doc we usually speak to in the third segment. We haven't done any segments, so what we're going to do now, Don, is we're going to sign off and then we're going to come back and pretend that the first time I've spoken to you is when we come back on air, and we'll speak about a whole lot of topics because I've got some very important information to give to you about a whole lot of things that we spoke on last week. So stand by, Don. I'm going to try and work out how to finish this, and I'm going to do it now, I believe.